Speaking on this program is Doris Hughes.
We've been talking about God's plan of salvation. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So for the reasons that we just mentioned and others too, this is one of the lessons of God's plan of salvation. Someone when I say, well, we know all that. We know what we have to do to become a Christian. God's plan of salvation, of hearing and believing and repenting of one's sins, confessing Christ's name, being baptized for the remission of sins, Lord, adds us to the church. As stated, we've already used the topic of hearing and believing. Today our topic is that of repenting. Repent or perish. Jesus said to those who were very scornful of Him and His teaching in Luke 13 and verse 3, as Brother Oliver read in our lesson text, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now the very salvation of our souls depends upon repentance. This from the Scripture and many others. We see throughout the New Testament the many, many times that repentance is emphasized. And you remember the forerunner of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist himself, at the time that he was preaching in the wilderness of Judea, he taught and he practiced the importance of a man or a woman repenting. Matthew 3, the first two verses, John preached, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If we go to the next chapter, Matthew 4 and verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As we see Jesus choosing the 12 apostles, and then later, of course, he sent them out to preach. And the things that they were to preach were repentance, among other things. In Mark, the 6th chapter and verse 12, we read, talking about the apostles, and they went out and preached that men should repent. And it's just as true today. Men should and need to repent. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, He said that repentance should be preached. I want you to listen to Him in Luke, the 24th chapter, and verses 46 and verse 47. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and arise from the dead the third day. And listen to this, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, as we read this passage of Scripture, we should note what was to be preached and where this preaching was to start, where it was to have its beginning. Now, in reading, and as we follow the apostles, we come to the day of Pentecost. Therefore, the first time after the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ, we find that the gospel is preached. As you remember, this was the birthday of the church, the New Testament church, a marvelous occasion at this time. In Acts 2 and verse 37, as Peter preached, we read, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now you see here, the gospel had been preached and it had been presented to the ones that, even those that betrayed and murdered the Son of God. And the preaching of the gospel, as the Bible says, they were pricked in their hearts. Now this gospel, when it was preached to them, and they heard it, excuse me, He made them ask the most important question. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, if you remember, this was at Jerusalem. This was the place that Jesus said the gospel was to begin, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, no sooner had these people asked Peter and the rest of the apostles what they must do than they received an answer. What was the answer? Listen to it in Acts 2 and verse 38, and you've heard it many times. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So we see the apostles, they were preaching exactly what Jesus said should be preached. And they were beginning the preaching at the exact place where Jesus said that it was to have its beginning. As we look a little further in the Scripture, the Apostle Paul, he preached repentance. We hear Paul from Mars Hill there in Athens, Greece, as he stands there and preaches Jesus Christ to these Athenian philosophers. Listen to him. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he says he hath appointed a day in the which he'll judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now I try my very best to be a preacher of the gospel of Christ. And throughout the brotherhood, there are many devoted men who are preachers. As we can read and we can study from the Word of God, He wants repentance preached to all men. And He wants all men to repent. Of course, when we say men, we're talking about men and women, boys and girls of accountability. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, Apostle Peter tells it this way. He says that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come, listen to this, that all should come to repentance. I'm sure that there are those in this audience today that need to come to repentance. You know, to get people to repent is one of the hardest things in the world to do. With some people there, and I don't mean anything wrong with this or hurt you or what have you, and I say it in love, that's all lessons are given. But some people, they're so stubborn, they're so self-righteous, that they just simply will not repent. And let me add a little different view of repenting. Now, if we sinned against another brother or sister in Christ, or any person for that matter, if we said something about another that we shouldn't have said, or in some way that it's not right, whatever it is, we need to repent to that brother and that sister. Tell that person that we're sorry for what you said, and we want forgiveness from you for what I did. Well, what is repentance? Some people will tell us that it's a confession of sins, but such is not the case. It's possible to confess sins without repenting of it, isn't it? Of course, when one repents, then he'll confess, but he may confess without repenting. Others tell us that repentance is a reformation of life. And neither is true. Reformation of life is a fruit of repentance. And still others think that godly sorrow for sin is repentance, and they even think that the Bible says this. But it doesn't. Godly sorrow for sins, it leads to repentance. But it's not repentance. 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, and verse 10. It tells us the truth. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So our question of repentance is still unanswered, is it? We see that Jesus explained it this way. And Jesus talks in Matthew the 21st chapter in verses 28 and 29. And he asks the question. He said, "But why thank ye?" There's a man that had two sons. He came to the first. He said, "Son, go to work today in my vineyard." And he answered and said, "I will not." But after he repented and went. Now, if we can tell what that son did, we have what Jesus meant by repentance. Even a child would say that boy or that son changed his mind, wouldn't it? And that change of mind led to a change of conduct as well. So as we can see from this scripture and what Jesus said, this is repentance. Then we see Jesus teaching on repentance. In Luke 11th chapter and verse 32, Jesus said, "The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment of this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Now, whatever these people of Nineveh did, Jesus called it repentance. He said they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Now, when we turn back to the book of Jonah in the Old Testament, we learn what they did. Jonah went to Nineveh and he preached. The people, they believed the preaching. They turned from the evil ways, as we find in the book of Jonah. Read about it, Jonah, the third chapter, and around verse 10. Now, this preaching of Jonah, it caused them to change their mind. And this change of mind, it led them to turn from their evil ways. And this is repentance. Now, the question might be asked, what would cause anyone to repent? Well, the Bible holds two motives to repentance. One of these is a fear of punishment. Now, Jonah, he held out this motive when he said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Now, this plain preaching here caused these people to repent. Sometimes it takes mighty plain preaching to cause some people to repent, doesn't it? Now, Jesus was using this method when he said, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Now, the fear of eternal punishment in hell will cause some people to repent and turn to God. Now, we ought not fear to preach anything that is very plainly taught in the Bible, should we? As this punishment in hell will be for those people that will not repent. And then, too, the goodness of God will cause some people to repent. In Romans, the second chapter and the fourth verse, we read, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Now, if we can get people to recognize the goodness of God, then many people will be led to repentance, won't they? Now, no doubt most people are caused to repent by the commingling of both of these motives that we've talked about. That is the fear of punishment and the goodness of God. Now, we see that children, that they obey their parents through the fear of punishment and the goodness of their parents as well, don't we? Some people will ask, "Well, how long they should repent, before they're baptized?" And, of course, this shows a lack of really understanding of the subject, and we don't mean any harm by that. It doesn't take long for one to change their mind. We see that how the Saul of Tarsus, he changed his mind immediately when he saw that he was wrong. He thought that Jesus was an imposter. But when he saw his mistake, though, He was ready to say, as the Bible tells us, as he was trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" In Acts the 9th chapter and the 6th verse. In Acts the 16th chapter and verse 33, the Philippian jailer, if you remember, he was baptized the same hour of the night. Thousands of years ago, when the gates of paradise were closed against man, then the door of repentance was opened to men. If you go way back to the book of Ezekiel, God calls the Israelites to repent and turn yourselves, as it tells us, from your transgressions, so iniquity will not be your ruin, in Ezekiel 18th chapter and the 30th verse. God has always demanded that men repent of their sins. In the days of John the Baptist, here John delivered God's message, and that message was, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, in the days of Ezekiel, in the days of John the Baptist, the Lord's church hadn't as yet been established. Now, these men, they were prophets of God, but the plan of salvation was not proclaimed until Peter spoke it in Acts the 2nd chapter. You know, Christ came and he lived some 33 years on this earth. Then, of course, he paid the supreme sacrifice for us, didn't he? Sacrifice for you and for me, forever so. As God used the prophets to prepare the world for his Son, so God now speaks to men through his Son. Find the truth of this in our New Testament. Hebrews 11th chapter, the first two verses, tells us God at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past and the Father by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Of course, as Christ is God's Son, he wants the message of repentance. He wants that proclaimed among all nations. As Christ said in Luke 24 and verse 47, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. Now, the truth is, hell is interested in those people that will not repent. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. And I don't want to be one of his angels, do you? We see that the poor beggar Lazarus, how that he had died and he was in comfort. His state was one of, there wasn't any pain, that there wasn't any sorrow. There were no more sores all over his body. There wasn't any hunger pains, perhaps, which he'd suffered many times. All of these things he had experienced while living on this earth. But no indication, as we read this, no indication whatsoever of Lazarus experiencing any of these miseries now. But you know, it's quite a different story with the rich man, isn't it? The rich man, as we read, was in so much misery. He was suffering. He was begging for mercy. Just like poor Lazarus, he was begging for the food, for the hunger pains, for the crumbs that fell from this table in the earth of life. But in all this misery that this rich man was in and was thinking of someone beside himself. Yes, he knew Lazarus, didn't he? He thought of Lazarus. And he wanted help from Lazarus. He didn't ask for much. He just asked for a few drops of water to cool his parched tongue. Now, you might be wondering, what the account of the rich man and Lazarus had to do with repentance? Well, we're leading up to that. So the rich man, he had thoughts about Lazarus and the comforts that Lazarus was enjoying. In Luke, the 16th chapter, verses 27 through 28, the rich man tells Father Abraham that he has five brethren. I've got these five brethren back on earth. You see, he was thinking of himself. But he had these brethren, though, that he was concerned about. These five brethren of the rich man, they must have been wicked people, men in some ways. But he wanted someone to go back to them and to warn these men how terrible this place of torment was. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But the rich man, he still begs and he pleads for these brethren of his. He's interested in them. He's arguing. He says, nay, but Father Abraham, but if one went them from the dead, you listen to the rest of the verse now. But if one went unto them and from the dead, listen to this, they will repent. You know, sometimes it takes the death of a loved one to get some people to repent. That's sad. Now here was a man interested in, and he realized now how important it was for a person to repent. It's too late for him to repent. But just because he's in hell, he doesn't want others. He's thinking of others now. Even his friends, even his family members, to come to this awful place. As we close the lesson this morning, as we extend the invitation of Christ. Now, just as this rich man, as he was interested in others repenting and changing their life from sin, I have an interest in every one of you here this morning. I'd like to be able someday to meet with each one of you in heaven around the great throne of God. Some of you are perhaps young people. Some of you are not so young. The invitation of Christ is that invitation that you will accept Him. That you, as we've been talking about, believe and hearing the Word of God, believing that you will repent of your sins, like Christ said. You must repent or else you will perish. That's said in love now. Those people on Pentecost, they were told there in the Scripture to repent. Repentance, and it means giving up a life of sin, conforming to the will and the way of God. That's what it means. We're told to confess the name of Christ before men. We're given the many examples that those that obeyed the gospel, that they were baptized.